Chevra, first of all, the learning tonight should be Le'il Nishmas, two very special people, because Yartzai was today, we're today. First of all, Nechama Mindel Bas Yitzchak Aryeh. Nechama Mindel Bas Yitzchak Aryeh, who's the aunt of Chevra knows Eitan Osteen, David Leichtang, Ben Leichtang, Baruch Leichtang. Her yahrzeit is today, and Mirtz Hashem, all the learning should be l'il nishmaso, should be a bizchus for neshama up in Shemayim, and hopefully a nechama for the entire mishpacha, till the rezoicha to be together with Ches Mesim b'karv mamish. Also, l'il nishmas, my uncle, whose yahrzeit was today, Yaakov Hillel ben Azari ben Yamin. His neshama as well should have a big aliyah through our learning. Mirtz Hashem, we'll be zoyche b'karav mamish to be together, be dancing together on the yontav of Tisha B'av, on the moed of Tisha B'av. Bez Hashem is baruch. B'karav mamish, bez Hashem. You know, B'nai Yisoschur brings down. We all know, we've spoken about this many times at this table. At this table, everybody knows how every month has a seraph of Shem Havaya. That are Rashi Tevos in different psukim that spell out within the Rashi Tevos or the Sofei Tevos the name of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, Yudke Vavke. And the only one, for example, the one that's most famous because it's in order, it's Yudke Vavke, is Nisan, is Yismuchu Hashemayim, Visogel Oret, Yudhe Vavke. So the month of Tammuz, whoever knows what the month of Tammuz is. What's the month of Tammuz? Is exactly opposite, right? Completely nepach. Hey vav, hey yud. And what's the pasuk? Whoever knows. It's from Haman, correct? It's in, connect us to Purim a little bit, but it's from Haman. The pasuk, ze einenu shaveli. Ze einenu shaveli is sofei tevos. Not Rashi tevos here, it's sofei tevos. Hey vav, hey yud. Ze einenu shaveli. So that's a tziruf for this month. That's from the Arizal already. The Bnei Yisoschur explains that when you have the name Shem Havaya Yud Kei Vavkei completely backwards, and it's also at the Sofei Tevos at the end of the word, but when it's completely backwards, it represents complete din, complete judgment. And that's this month, the month of Tammuz, as opposed to Yud Kei Vavkei in order, is Shem Rachem, is complete mercy, and that's the month of Nisan, which is full of Geula. It's interesting, Tammuz is complete din and not Ov. Ov is the pasuk in Parashas Kisavo, Haskes Ushma, which also Haskes Ushma is Hey Vav, similar, right? It's completely the opposite, backwards. But then, Yisrael Hayom, Yud Hey in order. Because the month of Ov starts out how the first half of the month is din up from the 9 days, Shulish Chalba, Tisha B'Av, up until Tu B'Av. From Tu B'Av starts the Zman of Simcha, as the Gemara explains in Tainus at length. So, from Tu B'Av on, the second half of the month is all Simcha. So the second half is Yud Hey in order. The first half is Hey Vav. But only Tammuz is completely backwards of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Tammuz is completely backwards, complete din. And that's the month we're in right now. This past week, this past Tuesday, we had Shivas Batamas. But it's really even before that. The whole month was din. Because really, what episode in Tanakh defined these days from the earliest of times was the Chet Meraglim. We all know Chet Meraglim occurred on Tisha B'Av. And Chet Meraglim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the Chazal teach us, you cried Bechiyas Shachinam, you cried tears for naught, I'm going to give you what to cry about. But that began when? When did the Meraglim go out? Already they were sent at the end of Sivan, the Chav Tes Sivan. So meaning, from the beginning of Tammuz is when the Meraglim were in Eretz Yisrael doing their thing. So the whole month of Tammuz is defined as a Zman of Din, a Zman of Judgment. At the same time, that's inherent, that's in its essence. It doesn't be, we don't have the koyach to be nepach. To turn it around, as we've spoken about many times over the last few weeks. There's a famous Torah that Imri Noam brings it down, that Yisrael and others, how the days of Bein HaMetzarim, the days that we're in, the 3 weeks, the 22 days are connected, 22 days from of the Yamim Narayim, from Rosh Hashanah until Shemini Atzeres. From Rosh Hashanah until Shemini Atzeres are 22 days. The Mir Noam says, that's what the Mir Noam says. Oy Yisrael actually has a whole different cheshbon with the Yom Tovim. Maybe we'll learn about that another time. Shlomo Pinchas spoke about it this week in his Tafshin Ayin Zayin Torah. The Imri Noam says again, the 22 days of the three weeks is 21 days, but they're really 22 days. If you include Shavuos Batamas through Tisha B'Av, it's 22 days. Are connected to 22 days from Rosh Hashanah to Shemini Atzeres. Are there more uplifting days in the year than from Rosh Hashanah to Shemini Atzeres? So if it's connected those days, it's telling us, although inherently they're sad days, they're days of din, it's our avodah to flip them around, to turn them around, to turn these days into miyagon l'simcha. Maybe we started off saying we're learning tonight Lil Nishmas, the yartzeits of Nechama Mindel Bas Yitzchak Aryeh, the yartzeit of Yaakov Hillel Ben Azariah Ben Yamin. A yartzeit in the same way. A yartzeit, yes, could be on some level atzva, sadness, din, but our avodah is to be nepach and do more for these neshamas and do more in our lives and take chizik to be better people ultimately. So these have to be very big days of growth. So how do we grow? We learn Torah, so let's start to learn together. So it's cheshbening tonight. There's so much I've been starting to learn. Torah and Bein HaMetzarim and Shavuos Batamas and the 3 weeks and 9 days, and there's so much we could talk about. But how can we not start tonight with an Or HaChaim HaKadosh? For those of you who don't know, hopefully everybody knows, this past Sunday, this past Matzah Shabbos Kodesh, was the yahrzeit of the Heilige Or HaChaim HaKadosh. The Or HaChaim was mamish, he was a malach. Or HaChaim, there are stories of the Or HaChaim we can't even imagine. The Or HaChaim, by the way, when he was nifter, was exactly like this year. It was also on a Matzah Shabbos. There's a story told, a very famous story of the Baal Shem HaKadosh. How the Baal Shem Tov was in the middle, he was washing for Shaul Shudis. And he announced, right when he was about to wash to his Chasidim, he announced, the Ner Maravi has been extinguished. The light of the West has been extinguished. They didn't know what he was talking about at that point. Shaul Shudis went on, Shabbos ended, Malav Malka. Some of his Chassidim eventually asked him, Rebbe, what did you mean? The Ner Maravi has been extinguished. He says, I felt at that moment, I knew that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh was Nifter. And Kachave, he was. Now we know the Baal Shem, where was the Baal Shem? In Mezvish. And Mamish was still Shabbos by him. And he knew the Or HaChaim HaKadosh was Nifter. So his Chassidim had a little bit of chutzpah. They asked Rebbe, how does Rebbe know that the Or HaChaim was Nifter? So he explained, and this is something I'm just telling it over the way I saw, I don't know what I'm talking about even here, but he explained that there are special kavanas that a person has when they wash. When they wash Netil Sidayim. Now, I don't know if any of us have any type of special kavanas outside of washing our hands and getting them washed completely and preparing for bread and maybe having kavanah in the bracha, but there's special kavanas. And he said there's one kavanah that's so kadosh that only one person in the world at any given time is able to tap into and connect to that kavanah. And I'm just telling this over. I don't know exactly what this means. But the Baal Shem said, for the first time, at that Shal Shudis, he was able to connect to that kavanah. So he knew it must be that Or HaChaim HaKadosh was Nifter. Because until that time, the only one, the most halig tzaddik in the world, was Or HaChaim HaKadosh. And Or HaChaim HaKadosh was the one that was able to connect to that kavanah. It must be if the Baal Shem for the first time is connecting to that kavanah, Or HaChaim HaKadosh is Nifter. They say that was already back in 1743. In 1948, I'll tell you one more story, Or HaChaim HaKadosh, famous story. 1948. The Arab Yimach Shemam, they were making some roads straight through Har HaZeisim. Straight through the Kvarim. You know the story, yeah? So they're making a road, and the tractor was paving through the tombs and paving to make the road. And the tractor goes one day, and it's getting close to where the Or HaChaim HaKadosh is buried, and it just breaks down. And anything they do to try to get the tractor going, there's nothing they could do. It breaks down, it won't work. The next day they bring in a new tractor. and they're going and they're paving the road, and right before it's about to touch the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh's grave, the tractor tumbles over, the guy inside it is killed. They decide, forget it, we're not doing this, and they make the road a few chvesdish, some feet higher. If you go to, apparently, I'm a Kayan, I don't go over there, but if you're in Har HaZeisim, you could still see till today that there's a road that stops like right by the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, that there's remnants, I don't know if it's, you see the full road or remnants of it, that's still there, that they stopped right there because Chas v'shom, Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, they couldn't pave by the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. So this past Shabbos Kodesh, I was learning from the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, and I opened up in this week's parasha a little bit. It was later in the day, and this is the Torah I saw, and I've been waiting to share it with you. The schus of the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. You ready for this Torah? It's a mamish tremendous Torah. So you open up Parshas Pinchas. We all know the story of Pinchas, and how Pinchas goes and he kills Zimri and he kills Cosby. But do you pay attention to the language of the pasuk? Listen closely. Mamish, this pasuk, it's begging to be darshened. The pasuk says in Perichah Hey Pasuk Yadalad, Vishem Ish Yisrael, the name of the Jewish man, Hamuka, that was hit, Asher Huko Es HaMidyonis, that was hit together with the Midyonis, Zimri ben Salu, Nasi Beis Av L'Shimon. Was Zimri, the son of Salu, the prince and the head of Shimon. Before, there's one question that should just scream at you. Right, obviously the pasuk is just completely repetitive and redundant. What does it mean, Shem Ish Yisrael, Hamuka Asher Huka Es HaMidyonis? The Yid that was hit by Pinchas, that was hit with the Midyonis. Meaning, why are we saying it twice? Mamish, two, like right in a row. Shem Ish Yisrael, Hamuka Asher Huka. Completely repetitive. Second question, you have to see the next pasuk, when it goes on to discuss V'shem Ha'isha Hamuka Hamidyonis Kazbi Basur. So there you see, it's not repetitive, it even strengthens the question. When it talks about the woman, it just says she was hit once, V'shem Ha'isha Hamuka Hamidyonis. But also, if you pay close attention, by Zimri, by the Yid, it says V'shem Ish Yisrael Hamuka, the name of the Jewish man that was hit. And here it's V'shem Ha'isha Hamuka Hamidyonis, the name of the woman that was hit, the Midyonis. Meaning her nationality doesn't come until after she was hit, as opposed to Zimri, the nationality is coming before he's hit. So you hear the two questions, right? So listen to Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, Mamash, so powerful. Hold it up from his son. Just cherish, bring. Listen to the Torah of the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, Chusu Yagin Elenu. Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says as follows, give a little bit of introduction. This is an introduction that the Aruch Chaim himself gives. We all know, Chazal teach us, and we've spoken about it actually over the last few weeks, a few times, that a Rasha, afilu b'chayim, that a wicked individual, even while alive, nikramais, is considered dead. Death and life is not dependent, according to the Torah, therefore, on our physical life, but on our spiritual life, on our neshama, on our soul. And if you've defiled your neshama, if you contaminated your neshama, if you're living a life of tumah and taiva and temptation, so in essence, you're lifeless, even though physically you're walking around. Elio, the chevri you saw last week, they were physically alive. They were physically alive. You looked at them as alive? No, they weren't alive. They were dead. They were dead. That's why they were doing crazy things and laughing in the court. They were dead. They might be physically alive, but they're dead. You know, chveshnisht, you have a chicken, apparently. I've never seen this, but like they say, you know, well, I have seen it, Taka, not like actually running around the way they say. They say, you know, it's right, you cut off the chicken's head and just running around still, the chicken. Whatever they mean, the nerves are still going, or there's something in it. I've seen it, Taka, actually, if you go, when I shal kaparis, and if you ever go and they shech the kaparis in front of you, and then they put the chicken's, they turn right away. The blood to go upside down. You do kisei adam. So you see the they're still like moving the legs. Have you ever none of ever has ever seen that? You've seen, right? They're still moving even though they're dead. My Talmud Shmuley Brecher shechted 5 chickens this week. He told me to become a sheichit. 4 out of 5 are kosher. Baruch Hashem, it's a big accomplishment right away. So lemaisa, it looks meaning lemaisa, it's dead or it's moving, but it's dead. So a rasha that's physically moving and speaking and walking and talking is dead. Our life is our neshama. So Chaim HaKadosh says, as well, our name, and this is very important, you'll see in a moment, our name represents our neshama, not our guf. We've spoken so many times at this table about how one's name is one's essence. Our name captures who we are. Our name explains our character traits. If we really understand our name, we'd understand what our kochos are, what our abilities are, who we are. Our mahus. It was this week we were speaking earlier about it, by a very special bris. David Elephant of Shalom, who was nifter only a few months ago, had a grandson who was named after him. And he has the schus to carry that name. And that's a name that has a lot of koichus in it. We've spoken the godless of a tzaddik of Baal Chesed like David Elephant, he's going to have that name. And what are the koichus of a name like David HaMelech and a name like Yonason? There's a lot of koichus, there's a lot of depth. It's not his guf, it's his neshama that's being represented. Last night there was someone over here that doesn't yet have a Jewish name. A Yid, but whatever, I don't want to give the details, it doesn't matter, but a Yid who didn't grow up religious and didn't know really from anything and was never given a Jewish name. And she's getting married in another month. And we're discussing, she's going to choose a Jewish name for herself. And she, last night in the house of here, her and her chassan were here, we were meeting, we were talking. And we were discussing, she was asking me how to choose that name. Should she choose based on understanding her essence and who she is and trying to find a name that connects to that? Or choose on who she'd like to be and who she wants to be and give her a responsibility within that name? And I told her, you mamish get it. I told her, you mamish get it. It's not just a name that sounds nice. You understand. I said it's a combination of everything you just said, really. It's yes, it's who you are and it's who you want to be. Because that's what your essence is. And she has a project. She has a few more weeks to figure it out, whatever it is. Bezeh Hashem is Baruch. Our name is very similar. My brother, this past Erev Shabbos Kodesh, made a bris. Named his baby Adiel Levi Yitzchak. A lot of koichis in that name. A lot there in a lot of ways. The Yitzchak was my Zaydi. Levi Yitzchak, the Barditchever. Adiel, a gem of Hashem. But he called me up the day before, and they were discussing names. I'm not going to go into the whole conversation right now. And he said to me, I know when you have a name, when you're naming your baby, there's supposed to be some level of Ruach HaKodesh. He's like, I'm not feeling any Ruach HaKodesh. I don't feel it. I don't know what name. My wife doesn't. We're trying to figure out. We don't have a name. And we discussed different options, and we were discussing it. Baruch Shem, some Ruach Kodesh came about in that conversation itself. Don't want to talk about that right now, but Lamaisa. But he got it. He understood in that conversation that I had with my brother. He understood how important that name was. It's not just, oh, I choose some name that I saw somewhere and it sounds good, beautiful. So the name is the neshama. And that's why Mishlei we say v'shem Rishayim Yirkav. The name of a wicked person should rot. Because the neshama is rotten. And therefore the neshama is dead of a rasha. So there's no name either. The rasha's name is also dead. So with this all in mind, understanding that a rasha, someone who's Baal Taiva, someone who's running after temptations, and not living the life as an Eved Hashem like they should be, is really just dead. and understanding that our name is that neshama. So now let's read the pasuk and listen to how the Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains with all that introduction. And those were all ideas from the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. That wasn't my own. All this is. The pasuk says, V'shem Ish Yisrael, the name of the Yid, meaning the neshama, Hamukra, was already hit, was already defiled and destroyed. Prior to Pinchas coming and physically killing Zimri, V'shem Yiz Yisrael Hamukra, Zimri already, by going and be Boil Aramis, having relations with this woman, defiling himself, defiling the closeness that he has to the Rabbanu Shalom. You know what he did already? Hamuka. He killed himself already. He was already Nikramase. Vishem, his name, his neshama of the Ish Yisrael, of Klal Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, of who he was Hamuka. Then Asher Hukas HaMidyonis. Then Pinchas came and physically killed him with the Midyonis. And that's why then when it comes to the Midyonis, V'shem Isha, the name of the woman, it's not, there's no Nisham, there's no Shem Yisrael. So Midyonis comes later. Hamuka, that she was hit, her physical, her spiritual, all was hit only once by who? By Pinchas. It's only one Muka. Because she has no Kedusha to her. Her act was meaningless. Her life was meaningless. She's dead. She's dead from Pinchas. But you hear what the Or HaChaim HaKadosh is saying, so unbelievable. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh is saying there were two deaths. There was the spiritual death and the physical death. And therefore he was already Zimri was a walking dead man. It was a walking dead man. When Pinchas came and Hukah and hit him again, so he physically won't be in this world. There are halachos like this in life. You have someone who's already mamish on their deathbed, is mamish, has dinim that you, they have a halacha on some level, you can't, are considered in certain halachas as if they're dead in some ways, perhaps, if they're mamish hovering between life and death. He was walking dead, Zimri. When one is involved in taivas, temptations, when one is involved in arayas, when one is involved in tumah, when one is involved in a life where I'm running after just my physical desires, I'm walking dead. This is what the Or HaChaim HaKadosh is teaching each and every one of us. You know, this past week in camp, whoever knows, I'm the rabbi in a day camp. And in a day camp, I give some chinuch to younger children. It's a special avodah. It's something very special. And I was giving these boys, were probably maybe 7, 8 years old, this particular group. And I was talking about tefillah, about davening, the chashivas of davening, the importance of davening. I was telling them a story about davening. How important it is that we have to daven to Hashem whenever we need Hashem to daven to Hashem. One of the boys raised his hand and he says, Rebbe, or Rabbi, I don't know if whatever he said, one of the two, you know. He said, in all sincerity, this little boy, maybe he was 7 years old, he says, how could you daven to Hashem if Hashem is dead? How can you daven to Hashem if Hashem is dead? So I was very taken aback. I've heard a lot of things in this lifetime of mine, and I've dealt with like things you can't even imagine in like mamish in a million years. In all my years, nobody ever said to me, God's dead. Maybe he doesn't believe in God, so then he was never alive to begin with. That for sure, okay. Those who have a chizar and a munah. But to say he's dead meant he was there, he's alive, he's just no longer there, he's dead. So I don't think anyone ever said that to me. God is dead. So first I explained to the boy, you know, I don't think he meant like Chazal talks about our Oivim, thought that they killed the Rabbeinu Shalom. I don't think he was so. I don't think that's what he meant. You know, when the blood was dripping by the pareiches. I don't think that's what he meant. The way I understood him, I didn't really ask him to clarify because I didn't know what he would say. And there are other, you know, there are other children there that Chas v'Shalom could have a reishim on it, could have an imprint on. You have to be careful. You want to deal and you want to be machshav every single person. But sometimes it's dangerous talking about certain things in front of other people who are definitely not so knowledgeable yet. So I didn't want him, but my take on what he meant in that statement as a young child was that he's never physically seen God. He's never actually had conversations with God. You know, so to him, I'm a lot more alive than God's alive. And to him, this glass with ice and iced tea is a lot more real than God. Because he can't see it. He can't see Hashem. So I said to him, it's a very good point. I understand why I think you saying that. But I said to him, look at me. We were sitting right across from each other. I said, right now, you know, is there anything in between us? And he said, no, there's nothing in between us. I said, but you know that's not true. Because there's air that's in between us. And there's oxygen that's in between us. And if you close the lights and you shine the flashlight in between us, you'd see thousands of little pieces of ichvestish, of dust, that we don't see right now because of the lack of contrast between the light and the dark. But it's there. There's a lot. I said there's a lot in between us that we might not physically see, but there's a lot that's in between us. I said, so too in life. Sometimes you might not physically see something, but it doesn't mean that it's not there. And Hashem is very much alive. Okay. Thank you, Tzadik. So sometimes, but I think it works, what we're saying tonight right here is it works both ways. Sometimes, like the Rabbeinu Shalom, something that we don't physically see and we don't see physically talking or walking is very much alive. Is very much here. Much more so than things that we do see. And sometimes something that's physically here and walking around and it looks alive is mamish dead. Because the definition of life and death is not physical life and death, but spiritual life and death. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we dead or alive? We have to look in the mirror. Are we living a life of Chaim? Or living a life of Misa? Chas v'shalom lo'olam. Especially in the summer, especially when we have the challenges of the summer, the nisyonos, the temptations of the summer, are we dead or alive? So what's the key to Hatzlacha? What's the key to ensure that we're alive? Eitz Chaim hi l'machazikim bo. Torah's Chaim. There's no question, there's one answer. And that one answer is Torah's Chaim. What keeps us alive is the Torah. What keeps us alive is Torah. And Torah gives us the clarity to make sure that we're not falling prey to the taivas that kill us, literally. And that's what it means. Maybe. And we have to understand it's not just Torah. It has to be serious Torah. It has to be amelus b'Torah. And we all know, we've spoken about it, I think, the last few weeks, and we'll continue to speak about it. But the Gemara in Nedarim, daf pe aleph amud aleph, that says that the reason why we had Churban Beis HaMikdash is Shlo Baruch Hu Torah Tchila. That we didn't make Birchas HaTorah. And obviously all the Mepharshim ask, it doesn't make sense. We have so many other Chazals of such terrible Averos that were going on. Whatever, such mamish, you're talking the worst of Averos of Sheikh Damar Abadazar, Gil Arayas, Sinas Chinam, whatever you want to talk about by the different Churban Rishon, Churban Sheni, but ultimately, and here you're gonna have a Churban Beis HaMikdash because we didn't make Birchas HaTorah, which means we were learning, which means we were cute. Really? So a lot of answers, and we've spoken about a lot. There's a beautiful Ran over here, straight in the Daf Pei Aleph and Aleph in the Dorm. If you've never read it inside, open it up and read it tonight. An answer, I think I said this over maybe even last week already. If I'm not mistaken, it's the first time I ever heard an answer to this question. It was about 20 years ago in NCSY Kula. And I was listening to a shiur on this topic. And the answer that was given was the bracha we make is la'asok b'divrei Torah. And la'asok b'divrei Torah doesn't just mean to learn Torah, but it means to delve into Torah. It means to work hard and put an effort into Torah. It means we're learning, but without amelus, without serious toil in our Torah. And ultimately, if we're learning without toil, we're not going to connect deeply to the Torah. And we're not going to have Torah that's going to be the clarity of our lives. And we're going to end up living a life of misa. The Taz actually explains similarly. He asks this question. He asks this question of understanding how could it be that Churban Beis Hamikdash was because we didn't say Birchas HaTorah. And he said as follows. It's true, of course, that there were other averos that ultimately caused Churban Beis Hamikdash. But the question that the Rabbanim in this Gemara didn't understand was that still the Gemara in Sotah, the Chav Aleph, Amar Aleph says that the Torah is Magen Lanu. So Lamaisa, we were sitting and learning Torah, with all the averos, it should have been Magen Lanu. The Taz is, what the Gemara is really coming to explain is, why was our learning of Torah not Magen Lanu? Why was our Torah that we were learning still didn't protect us? So I'm doing Allah averos, whatever that might be, but if I'm learning Torah, it should protect me. So the Taz explains, as the Gemara says, in the Lashon of the Pasuk is, Loshimu bekoli is referring, you didn't listen to me, those were the averos that were done. But the Torah of Loholchuba in Bechukosai Telechu, the Lashon of Bechukosai Telechu, which was Rashi say, Shetiyu Amelim B'Torah. Holchuba is the remez to Amelus B'Torah. Meaning what? The Taz explains that only Torah with Amelus protects us. Only Torah with toil. Torah with effort. That's the Torah Tavlin. That's the Torah that will protect us. I don't remember where I saw this, but Mamish, this wasn't my own. But if you look in Parashas Shemos, by Golos Mitzrayim, which is a simon l'kol galios, including today. Listen to this Torah, Mamish, tremendous. If you just walk away with this Torah tonight, Mamish, I believe it was worth coming. So we all know, in a certain sense, when was the beginning of Geula of Galus Mitzrayim? Was the episode where Moshe Rabbeinu meets Hashem by the burning bush? Because that already set into place all of Geula ultimately. And the Lashon says, "Vayera Malach Hashem Elav Bilabas Eish Mitoch Hasna." Bilabas Eish, in a flame of fire, which is like the Rashi explains, it's labas, it's the lave of the fire, the heart of the fire. Bilabas Eish. So listen as follows. Perhaps we could suggest the Eish represents Torah. As we know, the Pasuk in Yirmiyah says, Halokum k'divrei Eish no Hashem. The Torah is compared to fire. Torah is compared to fire. Where so Moshe Rabbeinu is being shown Hashem in a fire to say, you know what the key to Geula is? You know what the key to Geula is? It's fire, it's Torah. But not just fire, but labas Eish. Be with labas Eish. Labas is oisios la'asok b'divrei Torah. La'asok b'divrei Torah. B'labas eish. With la'asok, with amelus b'Torah, that's going to lead to the gula. Which ultimately the gula is for what? For Kabbalah's HaTorah in our Sinai. But it has to be with amelus. It has to be with hard work. It has to be with tremendous effort. That's going to make sure that we're alive and not chas v'sholom dead. I want to read you a story. I always pull this out this time of the year. If the chevra wants, mamish, it's obvious, it's a little bit easier and a little bit lighter, but I shouldn't say lighter, it's mamish heavy as far as on a inspiration level. And it's very, you know, Rabbi Chiel Spiro, he has all the storybooks touched by story 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Is he up to 10 yet? I don't know. They're good stories, beautiful stories. What I feel he does better than anything else are his works on Yom Tovim. His Haggadahs, he has two Haggadahs which are tremendous. With a mix of stories and Torahs. If you want something to read, very inspiring and just mamish hits you in the live. He has on Touched by Their Tears, Kino's Companion. It's very shaykh to get. I'm going to read you just one story from here. It's not long. When Moshe Brookman arrived at Auschwitz, he was immediately ushered into a room, stripped of his clothing and his dignity, shorn like a sheep and given a flimsy inmate suit to wear. He and the others were then hosed down and forced to put on their clothing while still dripping wet. They would periodically undergo this indignity. Moshe worked near the train tracks in Auschwitz. His flimsy tunic did not warm him on a cool day and was wholly insufficient on the winter days when temperatures were always below zero. The only slight comfort would be at night when the prisoners would lie next to each other and be warmed by each other's body heat. One particularly cold day, Moshe and the others were close to freezing to death. That night he lay on his bed, a slab of concrete, along with the others, and they tried to somehow warm themselves. The fellow next to Moshe heard him whispering, but could not understand what Moshe was saying. He finally asked, and Moshe told him that he was repeating Shach Levitaria of Masechtas Beitza. The man was shocked. Now? Here? In Auschwitz? As your life is hanging in a balance and you're trying to stay conscious instead of succumbing to hypothermia, this is when you are learning? Moshe explained, I have a kfias to learn Masechtas Beitza every night. I've been doing it since the war began. I always make sure that I'm kovei itim l'Torah. And this time is my kfias. Moshe understood that the key to survival did not lie in the clothing he wore, but in the warmth of the Torah he learned. He knew that there was one thing and one thing only that can protect us from danger, and that is Torah. In a world of chaos, he still maintained his kfias for learning. This was not a daf yomi shiur he attended every morning with a thermos of hot coffee. It was not a blot shiur and a shtiebel in Borough Park of Flatbush. This learning was done while lying on a frozen slab of concrete with no clothing to warm him, half starved and totally weak in Auschwitz. But Torah was precious to him. He was not going to forsake it for a moment. Can't think of a greater story of Amelus B'Torah. Amelus B'Torah is not just putting in many hours. Amelus B'Torah means I'm gonna put in effort and toil and whatever I can do in my learning, I'm going to do. A yid like Moshe, that's belabas esh. That's belasoik b'divrei Torah. He said birchas haTorah, and he's alive in the death of Auschwitz. He's alive in the Gehenna of Auschwitz. He's more alive than a chvesnish, three quarters of businessmen walking up and down Wall Street, thinking about what bar they're going to go into that night and how they're going to cheat on their wife tomorrow. That's the walking dead. Alive is a ruchnistic life. Alive is a neshamatic life. Alive is a life of Torah. Maybe that's as well, just the Nesiv HaShalom, the Halakhos Lan Rebbe explains. He says in this week's parasha, Yeshua is elected the next leader of Klal Yisrael. And right after that is the Karban Tamid. Now the Karma and the other Karbanos, Yom Tovim, the Karban Tamid was already brought for 40 years. Why is it here? So Nesiv HaShalom, the Slan Rebbe explains, that in the door of Moshe Rabbeinu, so Moshe Rabbeinu, because he was Mekabel Torah Misinai, so when he gave over Torah, it was like mamish, it was so simple, so pashit, it was so easy. The next door was going to have to put in a lot more amelus, a lot more effort, a lot more toil. The Karban Tamid, the daily grind, every morning, every evening, no matter what, even on days that are difficult, even when you have other things going on, no matter what, I'm the Gisa Boyon Velayla. That's what the Karban Tamid represents. It's media, it's a consistency, which is through Amelus Petoira. So when Yeshua becomes leader, you need to be a Karban Tamid king. This is what the Nesiv HaShalom, the Slan Rebbe says. Sweating for Torah, sacrificing for Torah. Chever, specifically in the summer when our schedules might be constantly changing, it might not be so structured at times, and whatever they might be, and the taivas are left and right, so, and those of us that are in the business world these days, and have crazy hours, whatever it might be, v'gisa bo yoyman v'layla, we have to kovei to motayra, keep our clarity, to make sure we're alive. Ki hem chayenu v'arech yameinu. few years ago, I was talking on the topic of a male b'tayr this time of the year, and the Rebbe Nishlom sent me a matana. This wasn't a new matana, but to be honest, it's not a new matana, but the matana makes more sense what we're talking about tonight. This Orach Chaim HaKadosh, which I never saw before, it ties in even more so than ever before. If you take the gematria of Chai Amelus B'Torah, a life of Amelus B'Torah, which now we understand, meaning that Amelus B'Torah gives us our Chai, gives us our life. Chai Amelus B'Torah, life of toiling in Torah, of effort in Torah. Chai Amelus B'Torah with the Koilo is 1,218, exactly gematria, Binyan Beis HaMikdash Maher. We'll build the Beis HaMikdash very speedily, very quickly. Mirz Hashem, we should be Zoyche, Bez Hashem is Baruch. For the time being, at least to be alive. To look at ourselves and know that we're living, not just physically alive, but spiritually alive. And that will come through Amelus Bilabas Eish Dala Soik B'Divri Torah. We're going to say that bracha. We're going to be Amel B'Torah. And it could be some of us might only have an hour a day, but that hour we're mamish sacrificing, we're putting an effort in. It's not about how much time. It's how much we're sacrificing the carbon tomid of our Torah. And we'll live Amelus B'Torah. We'll be Zoiche to be Nepach, the Havaya back to Shem Havaya in the proper order. We nepach miyagon l'simcha to take all these difficult days and turn them into a zman of moed. Mirz Hashem, we said shir tonight, l'il nishmas tu heilig yidin, who should be, b'ez Hashem is baruch, will be zoiche, in the schus of the amels b'toyra, to binyam esim migdosh, and with binyam esim migdosh, to chesem esim, b'mheiru yameinu, b'mashiach zedkeinu, b'karav mamash.